In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Caroline Swan, and Rebecca Rednick as we talk honestly about the big learns that we've personally had this year so far. Hello, everybody, and a very happy, joyous, peace be upon your house. Welcome to What the Prophets Say. I know, I'm trying every time with a better introduction.
I'm laughing at Caroline. Like, you're laughing. She's so upright. She's like waiting, like, it's fine. You
I'm
know.
Glad you're here. The prophets are in the house. You're listening to us.
You can laugh. We can laugh.
You can laugh. Yeah, absolutely. Caroline's literally giggling. Was that introduction too forceful? Anyway, my friends, the prophets are here. I'm Emma Stark. Caroline Swan. Caroline Swan from Northern Ireland. Who loves Ballymena High, who loves tractors, as per our previous conversation. And Rebecca Rednick from Romania via Ormskirk in England.
Exactly. Yeah.
How are you doing, ladies?
We're fine. Good. Caroline, you're looking amazing today. I love your outfit.
Bought a new outfit, Caroline.
10 minutes ago.
For the sake of our listeners, I came in this morning with my tracky bottoms on, thinking...
Tracky bottoms does not translate around the world. Okay. Sweatpants.
Sweatpants. Thinking I wasn't going to be on camera. So then, as per usual, Emma says half an hour ago... can you please jump onto a broadcast? So I had to go out. I just had to go out.
It was a
to the
need.
Shops.
The spirit was eating. No,
but you're always ready, Caroline. I know you. You're always ready.
So now we need to do a kind of a whole, just for those who only get this in their ears and not in their eyes.
Yes. Yes.
What a way to express how you
can't
watch
stand
us.
Up and show
those
us.
Those trousers are winning.
Can you
Thank
stand
you.
Up and show us? No, you can't.
Thank you. No one will see, but they're actually... black cotton with cream stitching.
Yeah, very good.
And matching waistcoat. I don't know how it translates in the States. I think it's a vest.
What? Is a waistcoat a vest in America?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
really?
So.
Matching cream denim vest.
Sleeveless jacket.
Sleeveless jacket.
I can't show my arms, they're too wobbly.
With a coral...
I'm so sorry, people. Sorry.
Coral t-shirt, sleeveless t-shirt underneath.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you're looking fabulous. You're looking fabulous. I love that burnt orange.
Thank you.
It's a great colour, isn't it?
Mm.
And it's, yes. Yeah.
And then I borrowed some hair wax from Dan.
From our CFO.
Share and share alike.
It's really good to be here.
So Caroline.
My bank balance is just a little bit lighter. But.
Yeah, she got a 15% discount from one of the staff members seriously. And then ended up getting an extra item of clothing.
So can I just say, Rebecca, you've now been in our new building with us as a guest from Romania.
Yes.
What? Give them the insider track on what it's like to come into the office and this staff team. You feel liberty to speak.
We've already had a fire alarm go off. We've had quite a few things happen.
Oh, no, we burned the toast and had the whole building exit.
I mean, I would avoid saying we. It was one very
Ali McFarlane. Yeah, okay. Name and shame.
Yeah, name and shame. The atmosphere is lovely. My favourite thing was the first moments of being here, having a staff meeting of grafting everybody in who was new, really praying them in, really, you know, that was beautiful. Nope. That whole, we're all together, we're all family. And everyone's laughing all the time. Someone's laughing somewhere. Someone's making a mistake. Someone's cleaning up a mistake and someone's doing something fabulous all at the same time.
It's slightly nuts, isn't
it? It's beautiful. I think it's the prophetic life, which is what we're... Am I segueing?
Yeah, you're segueing.
This is what we're talking about
today. Come on, segue.
The prophetic life.
Take the segue hat.
It is.
Change from the nonsense introduction to the deep spiritual. You've got this.
Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, as prophets, that's what we're always doing. I mean, prophets, we're pioneering things. And to pioneer, you have to make mistakes. And then you have to be alongside other prophets who can help you out and clear up your messes and remind you of who you are and then go again.
Mm-hmm. And burn the toast.
Burn the toast.
And get the fire brigade sent out.
The whole building had to go and stand outside. Uh-huh. But by the time we got out towards the stairs, it had finished. So we stayed in the building. So,
naughty.
But the flip side equally can be true.
Which is?
So Suzanne and I had a conversation this morning to greet Jennifer when she came into the building.
Oh, because if somebody needs to go. Well, because Jennifer is our disabled member of staff.
Yes.
And physically, others have other issues. And
that was
true.
Most of us.
Most of us have issues. All of us have issues. Anyway, but somebody needs to go down and open the gate and get her in and get her mobility scooter out of her car and help her out.
Yes, so she had actually made it up to the top floor this morning, and Suzanne and I were greeting her. Mm-hmm. And we said to her, oh, Jen, you know, what kind of encounters have you had recently?
In the spirit?
Yes. At which point she went into the realms and we didn't get her back. We lost her for 10 minutes.
No, you're joking. Did she go flipping into the spirit? And then, of course, you can't get a sensible conversation because she's up in the glory.
Exactly.
But we've been talking about encounters.
Was she driving a mobility scooter?
No, she was in her chair at the time. But it was actually Suzanne that triggered it by asking, have you seen Moses? What does he look like?
Only in a prophetic office does that happen. Though bizarrely, yeah, we had a wee lad in, I don't know where he's come from, who was helping building chairs. I don't actually even know that he's Christian. He will be by the time we're finished
James.
With him. Oh, is that his name? And at one point this week, I thought, he's racing Jennifer's mobility scooter up and down the corridor.
He was.
Was he given permission or did he just go for a race?
He doesn't look like the age that would have asked for permission.
He doesn't look like the age.
No, I think he's like 15 or something. And he's just was on it up and down and up and down. And someone goes, I think she's going to need the battery for that scooter. And then we were like, who's going to tell this boy to get off his scooter? Just let
all
him go.
Day. All in the days. Leave him. So after we've, you know, peeled back, I want to ask you, ladies, what is God teaching you this year? What's the biggest journey that you feel that you're on with the Lord? And I know these are personal questions and you can ask me some personal questions, but we do an awful lot of thus says the Lord here, but actually to hear our stories and our journeys and to reflect, because often what we're learning as prophets individually as signs and wonder prophets, particularly as signs prophets, is a sign of what God is doing in the wider context.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So who's going to go first?
Well, I think for me, a lot of my encounters with the Lord, and it's interesting, you've been talking about grace for the pace. I've just found myself so many times in prayer and with Jesus. I'm always walking. I'm always doing this. And I realize,
clicking your fingers. Yeah,
and yeah. I realize when I'm doing this, I'm trying to get my, you know, the spirit is getting me back into pace with God. Mm-hmm, you know, keep going, get up, keep going. You know, we're going, we're doing something. It's something, there's a shift, there's a change. You've got to get up and keep going. And I think the Lord is really working on me in just being reminded of who I am and how much that matters to those around me. Me coming into who I am, me stepping into the fullness of who God has called me to be. Mm-hmm. And that need for, come on, it's now, come on, get up. You know, there's work to be done.
How are you dealing with that? Because pace changes, momentum, gear changes, season changes, where the Lord is putting more weight on your shoulders. And
yeah,
people are following your leadership. How are you dealing with that in terms of your physical energy levels? Let's go there first.
Yeah, that's...
Because bearing weight is physically demanding.
Yeah, it is. And as you can see, I'm praying that God is giving me greater weight, but really it's an energy thing, and it's to mm-hmm. being able to have the stamina to carry on. And we as a family have taken Mondays off. I don't know what mm-hmm. you guys do here. You do that right as well.
Yeah.
You have Mondays off.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We work very compressed, intense, long days.
Yeah, we were saying the other day, people never go home at the end of their work week here.
Listen, I have tried to send the staff home.
It's
I've
a good
often
problem to
said,
have.
Go and sleep.
Yeah.
And they're like emptying a dishwasher. I'm like, stop it.
It's a good problem to have. But yeah, making sure that you really take the time out, making sure that you really say now is time to stop, making sure that you even have, and I block my day. I don't know if you've heard of doing that. Like I block my day, especially being a mum of three little girls and still having to do the school run and then the meals and all of that business. So even just having my day blocked into times of work in different
that you don't let
ways.
It spill across it.
Yeah, your... then you know I've got, this is my rest time. Mm-hmm. This is my housework time.
How good are you actually at keeping to that?
Really hard. No, I'm not really very good at that because it's so opposite to how I am because I'm such a feeler. So I'll do things if I feel like I want to do it or if I don't feel like I want to do it. I find it really hard to really structure myself to do it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why the Lord is really going, okay, even if you don't feel like it, this is what I'm telling you to do. Yeah.
So you're learning pace,
yeah,
but you're also having to factor in a new structural discipline.
Yeah, structural discipline, definitely. And consistency. For me, that's another thing that the Lord is working on with me is consistency. You know, I've told you to do this. You're going to do it on a regular basis, you know, at these times. You know, you don't get to choose, oh, I don't feel like doing that today.
Interesting.
How about you, Caroline?
Do you want to ask any questions?
Oh.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like at weekends, what does it look like in the life of a prophet for Rebecca? Like, obviously, you are married, you have kids, which I don't, and I can be more intentional to have those rest times. Or is it referred to raw dogging?
Are we going there?
Look, I had conversation. David was appalled that we'd use that word in a podcast, and rightly so, because the millennials, is it millennials? No, what? Gen Z. Way of saying I'm switching off, but it clearly has other connotations to
it.
But apparently it's a redeemed phrase now to mean I'm switching off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not doing anything. Yeah.
So I am intentional about doing that at weekends particularly. Yeah. But how do you navigate that with a husband and three? Is it three kids?
Three little kids.
And running a church.
And running a church.
The pastoral responsibility that comes with that.
Yeah.
That seems to be 24/7.
It does.
It is.
I don't really do very well doing absolutely nothing at all. I really don't. And maybe it's something that I need to be healed from. I don't know. But I think if I sit too long doing nothing or I feel like my thoughts tend to be to my thoughts and come in and too much of my self comes into it.
I was given really brilliant advice once for high octane, high energy, high achieving type people who really like the pace of life to be fast and high adrenaline, that actually they decompress with equally high adrenaline past times.
Yeah.
And if you say to some people, go and lie on a beach, which would be some people's dreams, you actually really make ill a person's spirit who decompresses with as equally a sense of a certain sort of full force distraction rather than anything. I think we all do need moments of quietness.
But I couldn't just sit on a beach and stare at the sea. I'd have to read a book or I'd have to feel like I was achieving something.
It's a certain sort of understanding of what gives me life according to my temperament.
True. Yeah, for sure. Because I know that if I didn't do that, then I would start to be thinking like, I'm not doing this or I'm not doing, or, you know, or start to think things that I shouldn't, you know, things that come in, doubts or whatever that would come in unless I'm filling myself with something healthy, you know?
So how do you then uproot your doubts?
Uproot my doubts. I think this is like a... Am I supposed to be paying for this counselling session? Shushan, help me.
We did agree for the personal.
What uproots my doubts? Well, I mean, it's a cliche, isn't it? But definitely spending time with my family. Definitely being with my... I tell you what, if you want to feel so secure about who you are, spend time with my husband, with Bogdan. He knows who he is. He knows who God's called him to be, and nobody can tell him otherwise. And and being around him and him, he's like, why do you think that about yourself? Like, for him, it's such a foreign concept that you would have any doubt at all. Not in a proud way, but he's so secure.
It's an interesting thing. Friends of mine recently were commenting on, in fact, two different husband and wife teams in the last 2 weeks has said very similar things, one based in America, one based in England, on various, you know, interactions with David and I. And they said, you're quite secure in God and in each other. It's noteworthy.
Yeah.
That, and I actually do think it produces, if you can find that secure attachment, it produces an ability for greater courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It produces an ability for greater revelation. And Suzanne here, the class behind the glass of my assistant, the interesting thing is watching her role in my world. Suzanne, how long have you worked? 2 years?
Two and a half years.
Now. 2.5 years. And can I say this? I've had some brilliant PAs and I wouldn't want to undermine any of the brilliance of anybody who has gone before. Suzanne is in a class of her own. She's in a class of her own. And David and I talking about the fact that her understanding of me and is so secure that she is an enablement for me to be stronger and better. Oh, yeah. In the same way David is, in the same way my relationship with my daughter is, they all produce slightly different things. In the same way, these are rare gifts.
Oh, yes,
rare,
definitely.
Rare gifts. And I think you're right. You do need people who are understanding of you that enables something better to come forth from you.
Yeah, and you being you doesn't take away from them being them, and it's a mutual.
Absolutely.
It's a mutual, because, you know,
it is.
And Suzanne being a prophet in her own right.
Absolutely.
She knows that her role in your life doesn't take anything away from
Absolutely.
Who she is.
I mean, I'm her number one. Oh. Can I find you a husband, please?
Yes.
I'm trying.
How's that going?
Stop it. I'm trying, okay? Yeah, one or two haven't worked out that I might have suggested. Anyway.
It's okay. I don't mind taking up that role, finding her a husband.
Okay, yeah, stay on the day job, Emma.
Thanks.
Yes, stick to what you know.
So but can we ask the same question of you, Caroline? What are you learning as a prophet? Not even as a prophet, just as Caroline Swan.
Yeah, what's God speaking to you?
This year, a lot. I think I've stepped into this place of being comfortable, being a lot more comfortable with the unknown.
Now that's interesting, because we joke about you in the office as being Caroline of the 20 questions.
Uh-huh.
I've never in all my life known anybody who asks as many questions as you do.
Even me, I don't. I ask so many questions.
No. Oh no, no, no.
Do you, Caroline?
Listen,
we should swap notes.
Oh my days!
But I think, in all honesty, it comes from my professional background.
Yes,
yeah.
Is when you're looking after people's lives, people who are alive, lives. Then you have to have your ducks in a row,
because you worked in the medical arena.
Trauma, yeah, brain trauma,
and,
and spinal cord trauma. So, you know, these are people who were on ventilators or life support machines who couldn't advocate for themselves.
Yes,
oh.
And so therefore, you know, there are a lot of rules and regulations in place in terms of getting people like that's consent and being a good advocate. And when you have maybe a team of 20 people working with that person, you know, it's like you can't give someone two shots of adrenaline.
Yes.
You know, like someone is going to die as a result of that. The same with in Botox injecting, which I also did in that role, because, by the way, ladies, Botox started in the medical profession.
Yes, yes.
With those who had maybe spastic hemiplegia or spastic quadriplegia.
Yeah.
So, again, the risk boundary is very, very small.
So you're wired for detail.
Wired for detail, but actually I believe underneath me what has been allowed to be expressed more and more as a result of situations which I wouldn't choose to go back to, but the Lord used to bring some freedom in some of those areas.
Would you say
it has actually changed some things about me, and I am beginning to accept the creativity and the creative that I am, as well as the logic. So logic has been trained, detail has been trained.
Yeah.
You know, I've come from a family, I guess, where it's creativity hasn't been hugely expressed for whatever reason. Even the schooling that I had, creativity wasn't something that was pushed. So with that, I think it's learning the balance between, okay, when you, at this stage of my life, and it should be the case always, but it's that, how do I 100% be led by the Spirit?
Very good.
But
and accept the mystery of God.
Exactly.
Mystery and sovereignty.
Exactly. And also be trained to, all I know was, I have to get this right because someone might die, or, you know, it's
fair
those
enough. Yeah.
Decisions which have huge implications.
Yeah.
So I am learning, particularly this year, it seems to be more and more, the Lord is putting me into situations where I can't have my ducks in a row. And it's like...
It's quite a lot, isn't it, to deal with, to press into sovereignty and mystery and to be content in your dust. That even, to be fair, if you understood the plan of God, you might be so freaked out by how he does things, because we do not know his thoughts. His thoughts are biblically far above.
Yeah.
He withholds some of the master plan, not because he doesn't love us with and trust us with detail, but because he knows our frailty can't cope with the arc of the story of what our lives, what he requires from our lives.
And
how does that look in your role that you are in now? Because you travel a lot, and I'm just wondering how that makes you feel, being slightly removed from the community that's here and everybody's helping each other out, and then you... Have to travel.
Yeah, Caroline looks after our associate ministers, those who are ordained within our network, which is you, Rebecca.
Yeah.
And so therefore she is travelling often to support
our
clergy on the ground under the banner of GPA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, and also being clergy unknown, you know, outside of GPA.
Yes.
Those as well. Yeah. So I'm learning that like a real life situation was a couple of weekends in Germany. I was working with the church there, and they had changed. Like, initially they had asked me to go and teach. Then the content changed. They wanted me to teach in a particular topic, which I said, you know, with a couple of days, 3 days preparation.
It's not often that luxury, is there?
Actually, know, it was witchcraft, essentially. And I just thought, you know, in terms of where your people are at in terms of introducing the concept of deliverance, I think it's a step too far.
We might
have to kind of pivot.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, between the three of us, you know, we did that because we had to. And then with that, with that came deliverance and activations that we had to adapt, and then dealing with the outworking of that, even though we hadn't worked together as a team before.
So just very practical pivoting and learning. Yeah,
exactly.
But Rebecca's question is, how do you cope away from the community?
I personally cope very well.
Yeah, you're good on your own.
I,
in that way.
That doesn't sound good. Yeah. But it's like,
I enjoy the break from the chaos.
I'm glad to be away from you lot.
No, I'm not meaning that at all. But I do, I'm a funny one in that I feel that I'm half introvert, half extrovert.
Yeah.
So I love being around people. Yes. I don't do well being on my own for long periods.
Yeah.
But I need to recharge on my own.
I'm like that too,
I absolutely love being with people. And then in this environment, it's another level. Like one minute, as today, you know, I was sitting minding my own business, and then it's like, can you jump on a broadcast? Or the other day, a couple of weeks ago, we went downstairs and a man had collapsed on the street.
Brilliant story.
So it was CPR, it was intercession. You know, it's the end of the day when, you know, in another job, you could switch off. But it's that sense of I seem to get that a lot, actually.
And that particular man came back to life. Came back to life.
or even crisis of any kind, you know.
Yeah, and the freedom of the work right here to come and go and come and go, and to understand ourselves and to understand where we thrive best, our touch points and our disconnect points according to every temperament type. But I like the concept of the sitting in the mystery. And the content in the mystery.
And the unknown.
And the unknown being, I need to learn a trust that is a different way. You are good. You do all things well. You will catch me. You will bring the breakthroughs as is needed in my world.
And even developing the history of realizing that oftentimes in the mystery, it works out better than in the plan.
Sure.
In our plan.
Yeah. I think the learning with David and I over 3 to 5 years of very explosive growth within the Global Prophetic Alliance is increasingly what is my bag and what is not my bag. mm-hmm. and the freedom to say yes and the freedom to say no. And knowing that your no is often a disappointment to somebody, but having yeah. to be content in your finiteness, your dust, your humanity, mm-hmm. your own personal needs and your family needs, and to let some things fall to the ground, to say that's not this day's job, mm-hmm. and to work with the Lord in what is anointed for today, mm-hmm. and what is not anointed for today, in the minutiae of what do my hands need to touch and what do they not need to touch, yeah. and learning that. And we are very, David and I live very, very fast paced. And I think we have quite high capacity. I think you need to do what we mm-hmm, do. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of being born ready. But we've learned over the years that we work quite boom and bust cycles in the best sense of that. Ministry is intense. And then actually the ability to say we are now taking 4 weeks off mm-hmm. every year. In fact, twice every year. Because actually you can't sustain
yeah.
what you do. And the understanding of how am I sustained and what does that look like for me to be sustained by the Lord mm-hmm. and sustained in the flesh, and the bravery of the journey to know what makes you well.
Yeah.
And it will not look like that for somebody else. Interesting, what makes you well as a single woman and the travel and the adventure, what makes you well with young children, Rebecca, and what makes me well with older children at a different stage of life, and to understand the changing nature of that, but to be able to say it in each season and then achieve it in each season. And who brings you life mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when you are needing to be sustained mm-hmm. versus when you are needing to give out? And that changes, I think, as you age. And who do I want to spend my 50s and 60s with? Yeah. It is not who I wanted to spend my 20s and 30s with.
Yeah, and not having to explain it to anybody.
Yes.
And to real, okay, God, this is what God is having me do right now. And mm-hmm. my immediate people who I love know about that.
Yes.
It is what it is. And the knowing that it's not a selfish thing to do.
Yes.
And, you know, knowing that it's not a prideful thing to do. Knowing that the reason you're doing it in your particular situation that you're talking about is because you do give so much okay. of yourself. And the reason mm-hmm. that we should be taking time out is because we're giving a lot of ourselves to people.
So I think the learns from today are, Jesus, can I be content in mystery? Jesus, can I understand who backs me and who I attach to that actually is life-giving? Jesus, mm. can I know what regroups me and where you want me to spend my time in terms of the relationships that forge me?
Yeah.
And some of your learns, Rebecca, of the sense that I don't always need to be in a switched-off place that looks like other people's switched-off places.
Yeah. Being in the time of the Lord, being in the...
And how do I keep with the yeah. pace of God? And all of those learns that are creating who we are today, very important. So if any of this has spoken to your heart as listeners, go back in prayer and bring some of these questions to ask and to seek answers for about your own life that you might know.
I think for the prophets out there as well, you will acknowledge that we never completely are able to switch off. Mm. So you could be lying on a beach in Barbados
yeah.
and you're having dreams, or this thought comes into your head, you know, actually someone's in distress. Or
I can completely like zone out and go, not my responsibility.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, because I'm in that season of, not that season, but that stage of learning how to be
aware.
Yeah, exactly. And what do I need to do and what do I not need to do? Because it's how do I be a good steward, Jesus?
I actually think in the complete disconnect, whenever, let's go in this rhythm. And I maybe said this before, it's hard to know we've done so many of these episodes. I do think there is active rest, which we've talked about, active rest. Then I think there is, I'm exhausted rest, mm-hmm. where literally my body must stop. So there's active rest, there's exhausted rest. I think there's restorative rest. And restorative rest is I'm in a place with the Lord where I understand that for my future, he needs to restore within me vision and creative space and thought. And to do that, I'm at nobody's beck and call, and not the beck and call of somebody else's spirit that has a need in that moment, or flesh that has a need in that moment.
Yeah.
So the difference between I must go to bed because I'm in exhausted rest versus let's go on an adventure in active rest versus I actually need to have a mental, spiritual vision, create time with God.
Yeah.
Because I've got to be able to know what the vehicle is for this next season and where I must be. And that you can hurtle between the seasons and find that you've not changed enough of your understanding of what the next season requires. And so you find that you're playing catch up with the next season because you've not done the restorative rest where a creative vision was allowed to grow within you.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, there's different types of rest.
There are different types of rest. And they perform different things. And I find as prophets, we move so fast and so aware of your angel, your demon, your breakthrough, your anointing, your mantle, your this and the other, as we hurtle past people in the training to be alert, in the training to be aware, that you do find yourself, I'm slightly off the pace of the season, or I'm slightly touching the wrong things, because actually I've not had the restorative rest of understanding what is my bag and what is not my bag. And I think I've got better at, sorry, I can't help you.
Sorry,
this is not my responsibility.
And even as a church leader, just having those constant messages, you know, this is happening to this family, this is happening to this family.
Somebody else can.
You feel that's your prayer burden, go for it. But that can't be mine right now because I'm...
Yeah, I can hold the vision place for this organization. Yeah. I can hold the leadership place. Doesn't mean I'm going to be the one on the phone call to you.
True, yeah.
It's going to be you, Caroline.
I think those situations, though, are... Yeah. That's good leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think that's healthy. But I'm referring more to situations where I'm on, this is literal. I'm over on the Isle of Bute off the West Coast.
And you're the only prophet on the island.
I'm hurtling along the road to try to get to the ferry, and the last ferry of the day. And I have a flat tire, which actually in that instance was the third one inside 3 weeks.
Oh, dear.
And the whole staff was having an issue with cars at the time.
Oh,
if you remember that.
Yeah,
But actually, it was so I was in that process of, okay, do I choose? Do I hurt? But then actually, I think, okay, I've got an electric kind of little device that will temporarily do the thing. And that means I will get onto the, I will get the ferry back. So it's the last ferry. Get onto the ferry, that's fine. And somebody is standing there saying, oh, love, I see your tire is not fully pumped. Would you like us to sort that? I'm like, oh, that would be really appreciated.
This is on the ferry.
Thank you so much. This is on the ferry.
Oh, only, only in the Western Isles, all of the Scottish friendliness.
It's true though, isn't it? So go up to the deck, and the ferry's only maybe 15 minutes. Go up to the deck, and my friend's with me, and he said, oh, I'll, can I go and get you a drink? And he came back with some hot chocolate or something, and a guy that he had met in the cafe. And he said, oh, this is Mark, for example. And Mark, he introduces Mark to me, and my friend goes off promptly to the bathroom. So literally, honestly, and this is so often with me, Mark had said, oh, I'm trying to put my life together. I'm trying, you know,
and
I've had some difficulty.
You have to prophesy.
You have to do something in that moment because I have somebody who has spent the last 3 days on a on an alcoholic bender, grieving for the death of his uncle, who that was his favourite place.
So,
he went there.
The born ready, is. I do think
you were trying to rest.
He's a guy, and he is in floods of tears beside me. And there's a cabin beside me. They're Americans, and they're thinking, they clearly didn't know each other, but this guy has sat down beside her and he's in floods of tears.
And the anointing does that. I find that quite often.
So, so it's that sense of in those situations, you have to do something.
Yes.
And I feel, you know, I know that's a prophet thing.
Oh, for sure.
But for me, it also taps into the medical expertise because people quite often get unwell. And it's that the Lord said to me, but Caroline, even that you're trying to put in a box because, like, I've called you as a crisis manager.
Yeah.
It's part prophet, but it's part who you are.
Yeah.
So again, don't try to compartmentalize everything.
So it's the be a solution mindset, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, my friends, thank you for joining us for this episode. We bless you in your own journeys to find all the changes that you need to make obvious and easy for you to step into. May you be strengthened by the Lord, encouraged to make the decisions that God is asking you to make. And we'll see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app. And we have there exclusively podcast PAR resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PAR TV.app.